writer of Hebrews says, run the race with endurance. Sometimes you and I, well, we just can't get out of our spiritual beds. It's depressing, isn't it? Well, we have some encouragement for you today. Here's Pastor Chris.
It gave him so much joy to save you and fulfill that will. Joy to go through all of that. Are you discouraged? Are you running? The effect is to say, keep your eyes on him. The victory in the Christian life is already certain. What he has won for you is full salvation, ready to be revealed on the last day.
Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we continue our look at Hebrews and the encouragement to run the race, run with awareness, endurance, and purpose. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast, giving you some real encouragement.
Consider him, Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So you see what he's doing here. He highlights your biggest hindrance to running the race of this life, this Christian life that has been marked out for you. And guess what it is? Lo and behold, sin. You are already forgiven of them. That's what was declared today for all who believe the gospel. You are washed, you are cleansed, you are justified. But because of the weariness of everything, because of the, I suppose, mundaneness of life, because of the confusion that often disorients, because of the problems that we constantly face, we open the back door and sin comes in. When you do that, and this is what he's saying to us here, here's the effect. Whatever particular sins plague us, whatever particular sins we are prone to, it is like setting on the runner's back weights. There was this, every morning when I lived in up north in Linden, there was this guy who would run down the street, and it was a sight to behold. He would put weights on his back. And then he would have dumbbells and he would run with this. Like, it looked absolutely ridiculous. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm smart enough to know that's going to cause a lot of joint pain later. This is what he was doing. And this is exactly what the author is saying here. Sin is like doing that to yourself. It's like laying weights on you when you're trying to live the Christian life and run the Christian life. Sin has a weakening effect. You don't think of it this way. We dabble with sin. We do certain things. We become aware of it. But we've not realized that what it actually has done is weakened the Christian life, sin. It has a weakening effect. It has a zapping of strength effect. It leads to all kinds of problems that follow from that. I mean, think of Peter. When he had made it up in his mind that he would not deny his Lord, and he did it three times. And as soon as he was back in John, we read in John 21, I'm going fishing. He was giving up. He was giving up. His eyes were off his Savior. Sin brings weariness to you. It discourages you. It makes you feel, what does this even matter? It leads to depression at times. Not always, but it does. It can. It makes you want to quit. You know this. For the Hebrews, they may have been struggling with many things. I mean, you can fill in the blank here. Worldliness, a love of money. It's interesting that in verse 15, he says something that is striking, isn't it? Be on guard, lest a root of bitterness springs up causing trouble. I have seen bitterness, a root, plague people's lives, isolates them, makes them angry, and a complaining life follows. He goes on, be on guard against being a fornicator. If you want to run around having sex before marriage, if you want to do these kinds of things, if you want to be involved in sexual immorality, I can guarantee you won't be on the track. You won't be running. You won't profess your faith. That is the unbelieving behavior of Esau. That's what he says. Those things. Don't do them. Recognize that that's what's holding you back. That's what he's saying here. That's the stuff that is easily ensnaring you. It's remarkable because God inspired this. It's not that this catches God off guard. He knows everything about you. He knows what he got into when he started the project. He loves you. But you hear the pastoral concern of your heavenly Father here, don't you? I mean, really, we often say author, 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 author. This is God's inspiration. This is the care of your Father saying, Proverbs, son, listen to my instruction. Listen to my instruction. This is what has a terrible effect on the life that I have given to you. So how does he encourage us? Well, the first thing he says here, he says, being aware of this struggle, knowing the sins that ensnare us, being aware of them, he says, here's what you can do. Consider him. If you think this is too much for you, consider Jesus. What did he have to go through to deal with your sin? He had to die and shed his blood for you. You don't have to do that. The author here is looking at the congregation of Hebrews and probably thinking of martyrdom, realizing that at least in this particular congregation, none of them had been martyred. And I can look out at this whole entire congregation right now and say, who here has been martyred for your faith? Not one. So God says, take sin seriously in your life. Take sin seriously in your life. It's what's pulling you off the track. Are you running? That's a good question. Are you running? Are you running? Well, then run with discipline. Run with awareness of what is trying to pull you away. Second thing he says here is run with endurance. Most of you will be glad to know this is not a 100-yard dash. It'd be awful to watch many of you run 100, by the way. It's a marathon, isn't it? That wouldn't be so pretty either. It's a marathon. In verse 3, he specifically mentions what's really they're struggling with. He mentions that they're weary and discouraged in their souls. Why? Well, he ties together, which is interesting. Their struggle with sin, which they haven't probably prioritized in the struggle, with the hardships and the sufferings that they're facing in this life. They were facing things they couldn't understand. In fact, I don't quite know what it was, but back in chapter 10, he said very plainly to them that they're facing struggles with sufferings. Haven't died for it. But it's perplexing to them, and this is where they're losing heart. This is where they're feeling like giving up. And what is his pastoral concern? He's tying together the sin and the suffering, and what he's saying here is suffering and pain and confusion and these things have a crushing effect on people in this life. They do. I'll never forget, a man played for my dad on the basketball team for years. He was my, as a child, hero. He was a senior in high school. I just thought, this is the guy. And he always treated me, he said, hey, CJ, and he'd come and put his arms around me, and I felt like somebody, right? I saw him at my father's funeral. He was the one I wanted to see the most. And when I saw him, I could hardly recognize him. He had a hard life, been through some really rough things, a divorce, and then he became a heavy drinker. And every word out of his mouth was the F word. I was so discouraged. Life had crushed him. And what the author of Hebrews is saying to us is, that is not the trajectory and the path the Christian is to take. The effect of it is to say, whatever is happening to us in this life, when we are fixated on the struggles, the Bible and the scriptures, they never view these things as that which is moving us off the track. Sin, yes, but not the hardships. In all these situations, what Hebrews is now to tell us, what the author is telling us here, is that these are the very things that God is using. He's told us everywhere, his power rests upon us in the weakness of us. The thorns in the flesh, the fiery trials, Peter. He's pastorally concerned that they're losing heart and that the discouragements in life had made them to think that God abandoned them, or that God was absent from them, or that God was unconcerned with them. And the author's saying, you got it all wrong. See what he says in verse 5? You see, you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. What he just said to you is a big moment in the book of Hebrews, in the Christian life, and how we look at everything. I used to read that passage and think, God was saying to me that if I do something bad in my life, watch out, because I'm going to get disciplined by the Lord. That this bad thing that has happened means that God is disciplining me. So I always looked at discipline, which most people do today, what we call punitively, as if God was an angry father ready to strike. In general, we don't understand discipline. You look at how it's understood in the church today, people roll their eyes at it and scoff at it because they still look at it that way. The question is, how do you understand discipline? What is discipline? What he's saying here to us is this: all of your life as a believer is under God's discipline. What do I mean by that? Every day of life, he's with you. It kind of made me think we need to stop praying, God, be with us. Just be with us. It's almost insulting. I've done it a lot. He is with you. He is with you. He's been with you your whole lives. And what it's saying here is, whatever we do face in this life, whatever adversity, whatever suffering, all of it does not mean that God is angry with you, but he is committed to conform, to refine, and it's a badge and pledge of his love to you. That's what he calls you to believe. Now, that's hard. I'm not saying that's easy. But you've got it backwards. You think your hardship says God is absent from you. Where is God? God is saying, I am always with you. And if I need to correct you, if I need to keep you on the track, I will do that. I will do that. I'm not letting you off the track. This is the effect of it. I'm not letting you off the track. It's a pledge of his love. This is exactly why he tells fathers and mothers and uses this example. If you want to hate your children, take the attitude the culture takes toward discipline. Do nothing to restrain them. And then you want to see the sad consequences in our schools? And then we wonder why children are so messed up? Because discipline is a mark of love. Discipline is a way of keeping children. Discipline is a way of holding on to them and straightening out their path and keeping them on the track. Spare the rod, you hate your son. So this is the emphasis that's being given here. Notice he follows up with that in verse 11, where he says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But listen to the fruit. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. In other words, God's way of holding on to you and loving you and keeping you from the bitter spirit and keeping you content in him is proper loving care and discipline and involvement in your life in every circumstance. That's what's being said. Romans 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put to shame because why? Why suffering because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to all who love him. James 1. For the light momentary affliction is doing something. Guess what it's doing? It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You have none of that? You're not sons. So see the encouragement here? And then we come to the final point. So you've run with awareness, with sin that's holding you back. You've run with endurance and how you look at the whole life of a Christian. And now you're running with real purpose. Notice it. Notice what he says here. You have to know why you get up in the morning. I've saved the best for last. I want you to leave on this note. When I was a runner, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back because I'm going to tell you the failure here. I ran in North Carolina for the 800 in the Nationals, had the fastest time in the nation, and I got last place. You know why? I kept turning around and looking back, and I got smoked. And I remember afterward, especially as these runners blazed right by me, thinking to myself, this is exactly the cardinal rule I broke of all runners. You never turn around and look at the competition and look back. You always look forward to the prize. Notice what he says here in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus. I'm not looking to any other witness. I'm not looking anywhere else. The imagery we have here is that at the finish line is him. He's standing there. He's already run the race for you. Notice he's not calling you to win the race. He's calling you to run the race. The race has already been won. He's won the prize. He is your prize. His life was one that led him to endure the cross. And look at what he endured for you. The humiliation, the spitting, the blows to his face, the scourging, the blood. He despised the shame. And then he faced for you the wrath of God, body and soul, to finish the race and to open up heaven for you. This is what the point of Hebrews is. He opened it up. And here's the big moment in the book. He did it with what? Joy. I never can get over that. I struggle to know how to preach that. All the loneliness he faced. At least we run it together. At least we're a community together going through this. It gave him the utmost joy to run and finish the race because, listen, it was his Father's will to give eternal life to as many as had been given to him. It gave him so much joy to save you and fulfill that will. Joy to go through all of that. Are you discouraged? Are you running? The effect is to say, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. The victory in the Christian life is already certain. What he has won for you is full salvation, ready to be revealed on the last day. He is at the end of the race, waiting, ready to receive you into his kingdom forever. And when you finish on that day, whether he calls you tomorrow or many years from now, he is your crown. This is your reward, Jesus. Don't be weary and discouraged, he says Everything that is on the track, everything that we have to go over, everything that all the hurdles that are there, he wants you to know everything you face, there is a gracious heavenly Father who loves you and promises that it will all yield fruit in its due time. So get back up. Run the race with endurance. Run the race with endurance. That's what he's saying to you. Run. He finishes by saying in verse 13, therefore lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Press on, he's saying. All the present trials are the pathway to the prize. Strengthen those weak hands and those knees. I want to close with the beautiful words where this was taken of. In Isaiah chapter 35. Listen to the words of Isaiah 35 and how positively it captures what the Lord has for you, what he's doing for you, and what it will be in the end. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Who? It's Jesus. Strengthen the weak hands, Isaiah 35, 3, and make firm the feeble knees. This is where he pulled it. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away forever. Amen.
And amen. Well, I tell you, if that doesn't get you motivated for Christ, I'm not sure what will. A marvelous look at Hebrews and the encouragement to run our race with awareness, endurance, and purpose. This is Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon, taking us through God's Word that we might find ourselves encouraged in Christ, ready to run the race. Now, if you would like to listen to today's program again, there's an easy way to do so. You can get to our radio website, agradio.org, and you'll find all past programs there, sermons as well, links to other places for other sermons, as well as other formats for reaching out to us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all at our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to contact us for a copy on CD, well, get a hold of us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. If you found today's program very encouraging to your own soul and you're feeling motivated to participate with us prayerfully, financially, we'd love for you to reach out. This radio program is on this station because you do just that. It is a listener-supported radio program, which means that when you do partner with us financially, a one-time gift, monthly gift, no matter how big or small it is, it all helps, and it all really is a blessing to us and, you know, to yourself as well as others who are blessed just like you with the broadcast that airs on this radio station. So think about that when you get a hold of us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Well, let's close out the program with a word of prayer, shall we? Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
Heavenly Father, thank you for such words. Thank you for encouraging us in the race that has been given to us. And whatever it is, may we take seriously the sin that holds us back in our lives. You've been so patient with us, forgiving all. And when you come along through how we look at life, and you are constantly refining and chipping away and dealing with in our lives what needs to be, all of it is a testimony that you are with us, that you love us, and that you've promised to bring us through to the end. So let us be greatly encouraged and keep our eyes on your beloved Son. May we with joy go forward and remember what our Savior has accomplished, a race that is won, a race that we are called now to run to the finish line with great confidence. Receive our thanksgiving as we praise the name of the Lord for such salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, we begin a journey through Genesis. Join us then for Abounding Grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.